Hey, this is Frank Todaro,
otherwise known as Starscream.
And you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Starscream, the true leader of Cybertron, and consequently, all things Transformers. Get it? That's the name of the show.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into the Transformers fandom is TFG and Mike.
The final nightmare that is 2021.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. So, we're going to be covering basically some toy news and some other stuff that's not so great.
Yeah. We'll get to that at the end, I think.
Yeah. So the first thing that we have in the agenda is the Transformers Rise of the Beast product assortment leak.
Yes.
Just read this, I think that it's kind of funny that it's coming out on April Fool's Day.
Wait, what?
Tentative dates that they have listed are for
April. Great.
So it's like a placeholder date, but
yeah. Okay, gotcha.
But I think it's funny that they're doing the Battle Masters, the Beast Battle Master, and Spark Chargers. It kind of reminds me of that nightmare that they had with the Beast Machines line back in the day.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
They had the Battle Chargers.
Yep.
And they had the dragon that was for Megatron to ride on, or the cheetah that was for Cheetor to ride on, or, you know, some of the other ones that were just, I don't know, they were just terrible.
Yeah. So they have like seven different things here.
They have role play. They have spark racers. They have beast mode things. They have spark chargers. They have combiners. They have beast battle masters. They have weaponizers, smash changers. I'm not a fan of like the variety that's going on here, because in my experience, a lot of this stuff is shell former.
I mean, okay, so I can't read the one that's on AllSpark, so I'm just going off of the TFW article that I sent you. Starting with the Beast Battle Masters, the characters they're going to use are Primal, Cheetor, Crescent, Air Razor, and Rhinox. Well, okay, sure. Where's Rat Trap? Like, Beast Battle Master? I mean, Rat Trap's a master at battling beasts. Beast Mode Bumblebee. Okay.
Well, you do realize that Rat Trap is not even in the movie.
True.
They're going with Cheetor, Primal, Crescent, whoever that is, Air Razor, and Rhinox.
Great.
And then Beast Mode Bumblebee. So Bumblebee is going to obtain a Beast Mode at some point.
Yeah. And then power.
Got the power combiners and.
Are they trying to do, like, are they trying to make these be more, like, a new size class? Is that what this is supposed to be? Like,
no, they're going universal size class with what they've been established with War for Cybertron. Like, they're not going to sway from that because they figured out it's the nice sweet spot of the sizing.
Okay.
Making them all kind of universally able to exist in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm a little concerned
Yeah. I don't know, and you'll have to tell me on the AllSpark article, because like I said, let me see here. Yeah, I can't read that. On the TFW one, and it may just be a typo, at the very bottom, it says Core Boys Deluxe Class. I assume they mean Core Bots.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted
to make
sure.
I'm assuming that, like, but...
Because...
Otherwise, that just sounds bad.
Yeah, that does not sound correct at all. I don't know until, like, I've clicked on some of these listings or some of these assortment number UPC things to see if it'll take me to anything that'll actually show me anything. And they're just slot holders. I mean, they're not even, like, there's no pictures. They're just, like the article says, it's Rise of the Beast toy line listings with gimmicks and character names revealed. Okay, great. And their assortment UPCs. Okay, fine, great. But I want to see, like, I want to see the actual pictures. I want to be able to see the two-pack of Optimus Prime and whomever else, or Optimus Prime and Bumblebee, or Wheeljack and Scourge, or RC and Optimus Primal, or whatever. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I've never really, and again, like you said, they have a tentative release date of April 1st. Uh-huh. Sure. Right. And what are they doing? Okay, so as far as I know, from the last time I checked, Rise of the Beast is pushed back to 2023. Are they going to do a whole year line worth of toys to get people excited for the movie a year away? Is that the plan here? Because I always thought the plan was to release this stuff at least maybe a few months before, during, and a few months after a media release, whether it's a cartoon, whether it's a comic, whether it's obviously a big budget movie. So what's the plan here?
I don't even think they know, to be honest.
I mean, I'm not trying to be negative about it. I'm just like, I'd like to actually see what an in-packaged, Power Alliance action figure is going to look. Oh, the Power Alliance, a.k.a. Weaponizers. We didn't like Weaponizers last time they showed them off. Why would we like them now?
Yeah. I don't understand them.
Me either.
Because, the Weaponizers were just trash the first time around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel bad for them to some degree.
Yeah.
But then because I feel like they're trying.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're failing miserably in some other regards.
Yeah, very much so. And I don't know, outside of the Cyberverse things that hit Netflix finally, both episodes of Cyberverse are on Netflix. Yay. So we will be covering those at some point in 2022. Other than that, I mean, there really isn't any visual media right now. I mean, there's no movie. There's no new cartoon. I mean, didn't they cancel Rescue Bots Academy?
Yeah.
I think.
That's dead.
Yeah, I mean, all of the YouTube channels keep putting out is like clips from, here's a clip from the movie where you can go stream the full movie on Netflix. So why am I going to go to your YouTube channel and watch a clip of it when I can go over to Netflix and watch the whole damn thing? I don't know. Yeah, I am so far out of yes, I know what's going on with Transformers, but I'm so far separated from that brand right now. I don't know, man.
I mean, I get it. I really do. There's not much to be excited for. Their visual media just blows chunks.
It's not even that I'm not the thing is the reason why there's not much to be excited for is there isn't anything. Like, okay, that's great that IDW still has the license for now and the comics are still coming out. I'm excited for that. That's awesome. you know, but the toys, I don't collect the toys anymore. And the show that I liked, which was Cyberverse, is now over, and it had a decent conclusion to it as far as that goes. At least they didn't just leave us hanging like the season 3 thing did. But, like, there's no main cartoon. War for Cybertron trilogy is done and dusted and whatever, and what is there now? What's coming? That's what we need to be looking at. What is coming? And from right now, even though this is the end of the year in 2021, they haven't shown us anything other than lot numbers for potential assortments of toys that we can't even look at pictures of yet because they probably even made the damn things yet.
Well, since I think they have. I just think that part of it is they just haven't decided to release the shots. Like, I'm sure they're uncolored.
Yeah.
I know the legacy stuff, like a lot of it we've seen and a lot of it we haven't yet.
Yeah.
So, and to be honest, the legacy stuff does look pretty cool because it's a lot of does. G2 inspired products. And I say inspired because they've renovated it or done something new, something fresh. And it's honestly kind of worth looking into, like that Laser Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that does look great.
That looks epic. If I could get it without the trailer, that would be. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I say that because I really don't want the trailer.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I get it. It
takes up too much space. Yeah. But if I could get the rest of it, because I love that robot mode.
Yeah, it is a very good robot mode.
Yeah, it's epic.
Well, that's just Prime.
Next up we have, what do you got?
Well, next up we have the Transformers Legacy figures.
Those do look good.
Yes, they do. They look very, very, very cool. Like some of the ones that, just for a point of context, I'm going to pull this up on BBTS. No, we are not sponsored, but we would like to be.
Yes, we would.
So they have Transformers Generation 2. Esque styled characters. So they have Legacy Deluxe Drag Strip. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I've got to give Transformers and Hasbro as a whole, they're really annoying with their very long names. And I say this with the utmost care because when you go to find out about any of them anywhere, you have to relay this long name in order for them to even look it up.
Yeah.
So because it includes Transformers, whatever the line is, and then the size, and then the name, and then the serial number. So it just gets to be a bit tedious. So that aside, they have that. They have the Voyager of Bulkhead. They have Kickback. They have Skids. They have RC. So it's a little bit of Prime mixed in there. Mm-hmm. And then you have Legacy Leader Optimus Prime, which that one is by far the most epic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have some new ones. We have a couple of Selects Deluxe figures. We have Lift Ticket, which is basically like Hoist or Trailbreaker kind of repainted.
Right. Yep.
And then they have another set of characters. They have Silver Streak. They have, and these are not official. I mean, they are official, but they're leaked images. Diaclone Ironhide, which is basically just black Ironhide. Like colors are inverted almost. Mm-hmm. Like the red is black and black is red. So then you have Nightcrawler, which is a repaint of Netflix Cheetor.
Yep.
Which
he looks cool though.
He looks cool, but my issue is that this is the fourth repaint of the same toy with no alterations.
True.
And the metal, the plastic that's around the Beast Mode head and the hinges there On more cases than more often than not, because the hinges are so fragile, I should say,
right.
they crack really easily. And so I have a little bit of issue with that particular design just because of that part alone. Although I will give the Cheetor figure this kudos, is that it does look epic in cheetah mode. It does look epic in robot mode because it's the least amount of robo kibble and it looks the most like a show. So I do give it props, like mad props for that.
Yeah.
However, like I said, they've done very little with this figure, and this is the fourth repaint, because they did the initial release of War for Cybertron Cheetor, and then they had Netflix Cheetor, which was more official colors, and then they came up with Shadow Panther, which has the mutant head,
right?
But it's essentially the same toy, and then now we're getting this fourth rendition. Not that I'm judging them for repainting what they have, because honestly, it's hard enough to recap costs.
Yeah.
But if it's a garbage figure the first time, like as far as like the production quality, it's going to be the same the second time. And like I said, as much as I hate to say that, I do really like the figure, it would be one that I would have to pass on just based on that.
Right.
Because I did have the initial Cheetor, and he was great to look at, except for the colors were out of whack until the Netflix one. But yeah, it's either way, if you're happy with it, you don't plan on doing much transformation or play with it, it's an interesting color swap.
Yeah, it is. It looks really cool. Again, you know, they have to use these molds as best they can.
And if they can get a repaint out of them, that's even better for Hasbro, because look at the Ironhide mold. Look at, you know, how many times we've gotten Megatron. Look how many times we've gotten, you know, a lot of the Beast characters are being remolded or given a different head with a different paint job.
Yep.
Which changing the head out is by far the easiest thing that they can do to it.
Yeah. Or even if they just, you know, like I'm looking at the one on AllSpark, the Night Prowler head.
Mm-hmm.
So if they take that and, you know, they take that head and they recolor it, but, you know, they maybe give it a different smirk or something. Like, maybe this is why I like certain action figures to come with multiple heads. And that's why I don't mind if I was still, you know, collecting today. A lot of the best example I can give you is not Transformers, but like when Mattel was doing Masters Classics, they would always include multiple heads with He-Man or with Skeletor or with whatever to have different facial things. And that's just an extra perk for the premium price that you're paying for that kind of figure. And I think that it is really cool if Hasbro, if they're going to do a repaint of a character's head, maybe just remold the head and use the, you know, and just recolor the body itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like these colors on this Night Prowler, they're yellow and I want to say gray, but it looks more like I don't know. I mean, I think it's cool. I think they need to find new ways to give us, if they're going to do repaints, give us a really cool figure. Because, again, we want Beast Wars animated accuracy Cheetor, or we want Beast Machines animated accuracy, you know, Black Arachnia or whatever. Whereas then they have, like I said, they have that mold. They have to make so much, they have to get so much out of that one mold and repainting it and creating or making or homaging or whatever you're going to do with the characters later down the line. That's great. So. Yep.
Yeah. So then the final figure is Buzzsaw. Which is a Waspinator repaint, which I kind of saw this coming, and then having the new, like, it's very retro head design on him. So, yeah, I'm game.
Yeah, it's very cool, and the alt modes look interesting. I mean, you know, they look fun. So, yeah. Let's see, going next, I saw the live reading. I don't know if he actually did something separate, but did you see David Kaye's annual holiday greeting this year?
Oh, yeah. I watch his stuff every year. That's like, it's one of my favorite.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Megatron. So, yes.
Yes. What I didn't realize, because, you know, not that David's the only one that does this, is that Gary did his, and I completely missed it.
Oh, no.
You saw it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll have to watch it.
They did manage to get a lot of the old cast to come back for the video.
For the We Thank You for Watching Beast Wars 2021?
Yeah, well, with his Christmas video, like, they have a lot of the actors come back. And
very cool.
And play a part. So I was very excited to see some familiar faces pop up.
Very cool. I'll have to watch that after we finish this. And the... What else is going on here?
So, Allspark has the best toys of 2021 articles coming out every day now.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like for the end of the year, but I could be wrong. And so, one of them that came out is Scourge and the Sweep, which same figure. Just I honestly can't tell quite the difference.
Right.
I think there's a darker blue darker bluish hue for Scourge, and then his sweeps are light blue.
Yeah, that's essentially. And I'm trying to see if the head sculpt is different on the sweeps, but I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. I think that, and honestly, like, for army building, those are not bad.
Not at all. Yeah.
It's a freaking solid figure, and I love that it's TV show quality for it's like poor man's. I tell my kids this. I'm like, they're the poor man's masterpiece.
Yep.
And the studio series is filling that void, which is probably why we're not seeing a lot of new innovations in the way of masterpiece figures, when they can just as easily hash out these figures and save a boatload of money. Plus, they can repaint them
for
other uses. People I've seen digibashes of where they could turn this into Alpha Trion.
Yeah.
The Scourge.
Yeah.
Now, I was never tempted by a Scourge as much as this one, where I had the Titanium version back in the day, and that wasn't bad. It still was probably the most show accurate that I've seen outside of the Studio Series one. Even the 86 toy wasn't very well off, and they've had the Titans Return and the Legends Scourge, and both of them are kind of bleh.
Yeah.
By comparison. But yeah, I'm very happy with the look of this figure.
Yeah, it is very, very cool.
So then they also have another one of their articles that says Cyclonus.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have him next to the reformatted Galvatron.
Yep.
Which I love the purple on him with the almost like Tron Legacy hues.
That's what we said when he was revealed in that episode that we talked about. But yeah, I mean, seriously, that Galvatron, that Tron inspired looking. I mean, it's not Tron inspired. I know it's not. It's his reformat thing. But oh, it's so good. Yeah, so they did Cyclonus, Scourge, and then obviously, because he was one of the best toys of 2021, Commander Class Kingdom Rodimus, because this is the Rodimus we've been wanting since 1986. So, yeah. Very, very awesome.
Yeah, so, I love these Studio Series figures. Even though it came out as Kingdom Cyclonus or Kingdom Galvatron, they're still Studio Series 86.
Yeah, I mean.
But so that aside.
Yes.
I do have a rather interesting article that came up, which I'm unsure if you've seen it.
Okay.
It's the, well, maybe you, I think you did post it, but I can't remember. It's possible. I can't remember if you've seen it or not.
What is it?
The custom Beast Wars Ravage transwarp vessel.
Oh, yeah, I shared that. Yeah.
I thought you did, but I couldn't remember.
Yeah. I was like, literally jumped. I was scrolling through my phone, and that's how I see some of these stories. And I'm just like, just scrolling through Facebook between, you know, oh, content you missed, or oh, here's an advertisement, or oh, here. I ended up seeing the custom Beast Wars Ravage Transwarp Cruiser War for Cybertron Beast Wars scale from TFW 2005. And I have not watched the actual videos yet. I want to, but, and I'll
the pictures are epic.
Yeah, the pictures are awesome of it. I mean, it looks so good. Well, yeah.
What's spectacular about this is the guy lit it up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got lights on the outside. It's got lights on the inside. Like, every detail is there.
Yes.
That you would expect. It's got the force field for Megatron on the inside with the little lights that permeate through it. And it fits the War for Cybertron Ravage.
Mm-hmm.
And his hands fit in it. I mean, it's freaking spectacular.
It's freaking amazing.
Now, the sad thing is it's about 1.5 meters long.
Yeah.
And 1.2 meters for the wingspan. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's a big boy. So it's made of resin, metal, wood, plastic, and recycled materials, mm-hmm. and features LED lights for the, you know, turbines, wings, and interiors. And it has the detailed cockpit, inner passages with screens, controls, and all that you remember from the show. It was built by a Peruvian prop maker, Marco Lyman, and it's actually owned by a Transformers TFW member.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is such a beautiful design here. And
now, I know this person made this and either sold it or whatever.
He sold it, whatever.
That's fine. It's not. But what I'm saying is, I understand that this sculptor, this creator, made this and then sold it. This would be awesome if he made another version just like this, but made a duplicate of it with a hole in the roof for Rat Trap. Here's a couple of belly bombs with your name right on them.
I would love this.
That would be awesome. But no, amazing. Yeah. This is so good.
I would be murdered for it if I...
Well, I mean, look at the size of the thing. I mean, I'd, you know.
I know. I would have to like disown, you know, so, part of my office.
I don't remember. I'm trying to see which one. So if you're folks, as you're listening to this podcast, the link to this article will be in the show notes on the website. If you go below the jump where the pictures are, the second row of pictures, the second picture in, so from the left. So you click on the second picture, and it looks like he has it set up looking outside, looking out over his whatever view he has here of wherever he's living or wherever he's working. And you can see the scale of this thing compared to an actual building. This thing is huge, and it's awesome.
Well, and then to add insult to injury, the same guy made a ARC.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
I have happened to look at this.
Uh-huh.
It is ridiculous. Like, ridiculous in size. Give me just a second. As I fanboy out on this. But I saw this on the TFW forum. And it kind of was just following it because I was like, oh, this is impressive. I have to put my two cents in about how cool it is. And whoever owns it now is the one that, that bought it off somebody else that kind of neglected it and was the original owner, had to sell it or whatever. And whatever, so he went back to the original creator and was like, hey, can you help me update this thing and fix it up? And they're like, yeah, sure, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they worked on it. I mean, it just needs Transmetal Megatron riding on the roof and
know, right?
ripping a hole in the back and Tarantulas on the inside with belly bombs attached to his hands. But I saw the... Yeah, if you go in their forum, it's got a diecast stand, but if you go to their forum, you can see more specifics. Like, the thing is so massive, it like takes up the stairwell.
Yeah, this is amazing. For
that, and it's a beautiful thing, but it takes up like an entire living room, based on who has it.
Right. Yeah.
And they have the Ravage inside it. Yeah, I want to say the arc, because I can't seem to find it right now. I vaguely remember the sizing was about 8 foot wide or 8 foot long by 6 foot wide.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, it's like putting a car in your house.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was like, because I think I showed my kids earlier, and I was like, hey, look at this. And they were like, oh, this is terrible, you know, terrible size. And I'm like, oh, no, but you can fit the figures in it.
Yeah.
But, I would be murdered on contact for that one.
Oh, yeah, you would.
Yeah.
But it's just so odd. I mean, between the Ark and the cruiser here. The Transwarp Cruiser, it's just so cool.
Yeah. But,
very, very impressive.
Before we go to the low note, or we'll leave the individual on a high note, I should say.
Yes.
But the other aspect that I was dreaming up, is we have, I have an idea of something I would like to do.
Okay.
A kit bash.
Okay.
So, remember the old Dawn of Future Past Beast Wars prequel comic?
Yep.
So... my idea is I'm trying to figure out how to create a custom version that looks like him without the armor.
You'll have to remind me of Dawn of Futures Past. I feel like that's it is an X-Men thing, but...
Yeah, originally it was.
No, I know.
But...
I got it.
Okay.
Okay, so you're talking about Megatron, right?
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, him without the armor.
Mm.
The hover tank itself.
Yeah.
So the hard part is, it's not the painting. It's the discovering what parts would work for this. Because you would need the Kingdom Megatron head.
Yep.
And then you need two of the arms to be identical. You need the specific design of the torso, or it would have to be crafted manually. And then you have to have the legs, but they would have to be able to combine, but also separate and have that rounded look.
Right, yeah.
Which is difficult. So I've got like a bare bones idea going at this point. So let me lay that on you.
Okay.
So the idea is using the War for Cybertron Beast Megatron head or the reissue Beast Wars Megatron head, just kind of depends.
Right.
Either one would work, but I think the War for Cybertron one would be better. And then the arms, and this is as far as I've worked it out so far. I mean, because the shoulder pads I would probably have to construct. But there's the... because I haven't found a figure that quite matches the identity or the look. And right. So I was thinking either the War for Cybertron Galvatron or Studio Series 86 Scourge or Sweep or whatever, because it's got the round hands and kind of fits that look. Now, the Galvatron would mean I'd have to go for a bigger torso. If I went with Scourge, it means I could go with a different torso. But
right.
But the legs, then you're getting into, you could either use War for Cybertron, Shockwave, or Galvatron. The torso, if you used Galvatron's torso, you could do, there's this stuff called Milliput, which is basically you can craft your own. Like it hardens like rock or something, or like...
Right.
Some kind of a, yeah, either way it can be crafted into. The other option is I found out that the Retro Headmasters Chrome Dome has a very eerily similar chest piece.
Interesting.
To this, it would just need a little bit of tweaking and then mostly just painting. But I was trying to think about it. I'm like, I could make him larger or I could make him smaller. So I'm kind of stuck at that crossroads now. So it's just figuring now what direction I can go and for, you know.
Right.
Trying to craft it and make it look like it. So because I would like to try and transform it, but if it doesn't, I'm not that concerned with it.
Right.
Because realistically, all you have to do is have the feet so they bend down, like the ankle tilt, mm-hmm. and then just have the legs straighten and have the torso straighten, and then you just have the arms cover the chest.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So that's kind of what I'm thinking. But yeah, it's an idea in progress. I'm still working out the details mentally so that I can see what I would be messing with. But I'm trying to figure out what other figures may work in that same fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that would be super cool to see what you would come up with for that.
I would like to do that just because then it would be a unique Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. Since this is going to be our last recording, we will be doing new stuff in the new year. I think we're just going to do reviews on them. I don't know. I haven't decided how we're going to do the movies yet, but it's going to be all movies, at least for a while next year, here in All Things Transformers, as well as a bunch of new Origins episodes. Hopefully I can get some new guests on for us to talk to and things like that. Hopefully I can get that Vince DiCola interview rescheduled. So there's that. It has been one heck of an anniversary year for the 86 film and for Beast Wars, 35 and 25.
It's so epic.
Yep. And then I don't know what the heck Josh Burcham was doing on Twitter the other day. And of course, by the time I get this online, this will be a while ago. But Josh went on this whole behind-the-scenes Twitter Beast Wars comic thread. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, sure. Yay. You know.
I wonder if it's like twofold. Like, I don't fully know. Like, maybe it has something to do with the fact that, you know, we're dealing with the possibility of IDW losing the license.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's just he was just wanting to spoil some stuff.
Maybe he was. I would assume that's what it is, more so than anything else.
Because, I mean, I know he loves Beast Wars.
Yeah, no, he does. Absolutely. Yeah.
I do like the fact that Polar Claw
mm-hmm.
is among them now.
Yep.
So I'm very stoked. I like the idea that they're just kind of going in a different direction completely.
Yeah.
And not sticking to necessarily the way that canon went.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, this, the whole comic, and through all the reviews that we've done of it so far, it has been interesting every issue, every couple of issues. Every issue has been interesting. Every issue has been awesome. We may have had a couple of, you know, quibbles about the art at points and times, but the story overall is very interesting because you're taking the Beast Wars characters, and even though they are kind of in the same area of the cartoon, you're telling a whole new and different story that is nothing to, like, it isn't just copying the cartoon in comic form. I mean, there are plenty of, like, there's a, adaptation of the Transformers the movie in comic form. That's fine. You're just adapting the film. You're not doing anything. You're just to make it as a comic book. That's fine. But with this, with the Beast Wars comic, they're doing some really, really cool things, and I cannot wait. Later in January, once issue 12 comes out, we will do Maximal Strike Back parts 2 and 3. Here in all things Transformers, and it's over on the pull bag as well. But yeah, it's so good right now for Beast Wars in the comic. And the final thing, not to end this show on a down note, but the final thing is very unexpectedly, very unexpectedly, Derek J. Wyatt passed away.
I know, that was just kind of a shocker. Like, whether yeah. you liked or disliked his series, it's still sad to see the dude go however yeah. he went.
Yeah, Josh Perez, comic artist Josh Perez, who was one of Derek's friends, and obviously Josh Perez has done many things in the Transformers comics with IDW and other things. He tweeted out on December 26th, "This isn't the best of news to share, but please bear with me. I was informed by Derek's sister that he unexpectedly passed away earlier in December. There will be more information from his family in the future, but for now, I just want to let people know." And you know what? I talked to that dude several times. We had him on three different ToyCast episodes, mostly to do with Callie and her Puggleformers that I used to have. So we've had him on the network in the past. It was about a decade ago now, and I had shared those old podcast posts to remember him by, but this is a guy that just absolutely every interview, everything I saw him in, even when I talked to him, he Transformers was his dream job, and he got to work on his, like, that's like, you know, like you wanting to, you know, voice Beast Wars Megatron in something. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know what I mean? It's a dream you have, and this was a dream that he had, and he got to work on this, and he got to, you know, do the art direction and the design. And I remember in some interview or somewhere or something where he's talking about, you know, how he would go to Sue Blue, who was the voice director on animated, and just say, "Hey, can we get this guy? Can we get this person to do this character's voice?" You know, and almost every single person that he asked for, she got for him. Just so, so cool. He was such a great dude. The other two things I remember him with me personally was, it was maybe a couple of months before BotCon 2011 or something, and it was like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., I don't know what a.m. it was, but it was like really late at night, early morning. I was on Twitter, I was just kind of scrolling through, and he was on Twitter posting stuff, and I'm like, "Oh, what's this?" He's like, "Somebody quick, get me a shot of the back of G1 Motormaster's head from the cartoon." And I'm like, "Really? I can do that easily. I just pull up whatever episode G1 Motormaster's in. Boom, there you go." So I helped the guy out. And then the other time that I remember, he got on Twitter, it was a Saturday or a Sunday or something. And he's like, "Yep, I just got back from Target and I got Transformers Animated Purple Shockwave for $5. And I was like, "Wait, what?" And I tweeted at him and I DM'd him, and he's like, yeah, go. I literally ran to my local Target at that time. I went in, I went back there, and I found Transformers Animated Shockwave, and I just took it to the register. I didn't even look at it. It rang up, $5. And Transformers Animated Purple Shockwave was that Voyager Shockwave. It was that big, big, big thing. It wasn't big. Yeah. It wasn't huge, but it was bigger compared to like Blur and Optimus and other figures because of the design of Shockwave. And it was just so much. That was awesome because figures like that are usually $15 to $20, depending.
True.
So he will be missed. I was hoping to see if he would be able to do anything in the future with it, with the Transformers, but sadly that can't happen now. Every time I've ever heard anybody, you know, talk about him, that they interacted with him, it's always been awesome, positive things. And you know, like you said, say what you want about animated and whatever else.
Well, I mean, love it or hate it. I mean,
yeah, I mean, Transformers is always, ever since G2 or ever since the end of G1, Transformers has always had differing styles. I mean, if somebody told me that somebody from the Unicron trilogy passed away, oh, I'm so sorry to see them go, you know, but, you know, it's just one of those things where at that time with animated was a lot of, it wasn't mine because obviously I grew up with whatever, but for people that were growing up at that time, animated was their G1. So he was their Florodairy or whatever, or you know what I mean? He mm-hmm. was that person to a lot of people. And with the way that social media was then and the way it is now, you know, back then he brought a lot of us together. New fans, old fans, hey, everybody's a fan. So, yep. He will be missed.
Yep.
Anything else we need to bring up? Anything else going on with you?
I don't think so. Like I said, the only thing on my mind right now is
the toy.
Yeah, create a custom Beast Megatron now that's not Beast
yeah.
One. It, mostly because I've missed out on like two different BotCon ones.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts because the one drives me nuts because it was the Cybertron Scattershot, I want to say. And he was basically a repaint with a Beast Megatron head attached for mm-hmm. the 26 or 2006
mm-hmm.
BotCon, like the 10th anniversary or whatever. And
yep.
I really wanted that thing. I tried to get it. I was so broke. I had no money to get it. And it just was not in the cards. And I got outbid on eBay because I wasn't there. And then I saw that thing skyrocket to $1,500.
Oh!
After BotCon. I was like, man, I should have went the extra $20. I could have saved it for so much longer. Because like even now, it's still, if you look for it, it still goes for about that. The other one from, I want to say it's whatever the most recent BotCon was that had Beast Wars stuff, where they had the Transmetal 3 Megatron.
Yeah.
You can get for about $200. And don't get me wrong, it's like it's a Robots in Disguise, basically repaint with Beast Megatron's head.
Right, yeah.
And he's cool too. And I would love to have that in my collection, but it's not on my bucket list. So to create one is kind of epic. And I'm going through this phase now where I'm trying to look at just random series figures at this point that are not Beast to try and relate the feet and the arms and the, because I'm going to essentially have to part, you know, kit bash it.
Yeah.
It's just whether I can find the components cheap enough that I want to put it together. So that's kind of, I like to do something creative every now and again, like try something new. And then after that, I'm like, okay, I've done that. I'm not doing that again. Just like creating the Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker, and then they still haven't made a toy of it. And yet I still have my custom. And I made my custom Dinobot or a Grimlock, like the 97 figure, and just it's a repaint with a Grimlock head. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, that's kind of my boat that I'm sticking to right now.
Very cool, very cool. I will say that the last Transformers item that I picked up for the end of the year here is the most recent Funko Pop that they released, which was the Festival of Fun Toy Tokyo Fall New York NYCC convention exclusive thing. It's Trax, and because they're, and I've said this multiple times on the podcast, they're going off of the toy, the action, the old 80s action figure designs. Trax is awesome. Trax is so cool. He's got this big old head with this tiny body, and but he's got like his wings on the side, like his wings basically touch the bottom of his head kind of thing, and it's just really cool. They have the flames on the back of his legs because he's in, because obviously he's a Funko Pop, it's in robot mode. Mm-hmm. So very, very, very cool. Interested to see what they do with Funko for Transformers for 2022. I don't know who else they're going to make because they've made so many so far, and there's still plenty of characters they could make if they wanted to. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have for Transformers in 2021.
So just mostly looking forward to what they come up with next year.
Absolutely. We can't wait to.
Not only in toys, but in media.
Yes, in everything. Because next year is the – what happened in 2002? Wasn't that the Armada game?
Armada.
Yeah. That was a good game. Yeah. So that's the only thing I remember for a 20th anniversary kind of thing for next year. I forget what else was going on in 2002 for Transformers besides that. But anyway, yeah, I think that's going to be it. You want to close us out for the year, Megatron?
Does he?
I don't know. Megatron, signing off. Come back next year, or else I'll send my Viacons to extract your spark and destroy you.
What? Go, but booting up cold!
I am Rengar! I dare to be stupid!
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.